Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And wow, what a beautiful day today was, especially compared to the last few days. You know, all cloudy and rainy and cold and everything. It warmed up nice. A little chilly out there right now this evening, though, but it was pretty nice today. And it looks like tomorrow for Memorial Day, it's going to be a pretty good day as well. A little warmer than today, supposed to be sun shining and dry, and so it ought to be a pleasant day. I hope that you'll have an opportunity to get together with family and friends, and maybe your community is one of those communities that are brave enough and realistically enough to actually have a Memorial Day celebration, our commemoration tomorrow. Unfortunately, a lot of communities still inordinately fearing the coronavirus and not doing anything, even though they would be outdoors doing it. But that's a whole other area we probably won't get into so much right now. But again, as I said, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can learn more about us there. You can learn more about the church just to go to livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to some past programs there, all at livewithpastoral.com. And I want to mention too, you'll be more information about that at the break at the bottom of the hour and at the end of the program as well. Again, tonight, actually, I think May 30th is traditional Memorial Day, or Declaration Day, as my grandmother always called it. Remember, we used to have to go to the cemetery, and she wanted to put flowers on the headstones, different things. They called it Decoration Day. It's come to be known as Memorial Day, and of course, it was standardized to the last Monday in May, and it's a commemoration for those who died in service to our country. Now, I'm an Air Force veteran myself, and it's nice to be recognized as a veteran on Memorial Day, but Memorial Day is not Veterans Day. Veterans Day is in November, November 11th. We have Armed Forces Day in May, earlier in May. We had it, I think it was the second or third Saturday in May. That was Armed Forces Day, recognizing those in uniform. And then Veterans Day is recognizing those who hung up their uniform. And, of course, Memorial Day is for those who were never able to get out of their uniform because they died in service. So it's not another Veterans Day. It is a special day for a certain group of people who died that we might enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy in our country today. And those freedoms, by the way, we should not take for granted. I had posted on some of my social media, just starting to post it to this evening, an article that I read called On the Front Lines of Biden's Military Extremism. And when you think about what the United States military has done for this country and the people who gave their lives in sacrifice for our country, the very fact that I can be on the radio tonight, the very fact that we could gather for church services this morning and this evening at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, the very fact that you had the freedom to not go to church if you chose not to go to church today, those freedoms have been secured by our folks in the military and especially those that gave their lives for us. And when you think about that, we understand the importance of the United States military back from the very beginning, not just the Revolutionary War, but the Minutemen. Who were ready at a moment's notice to take up arms to defend their community all the way through the Revolution, the Continental Army and the Revolution, and then through the various battles and wars all the way up to the present, to how men were willing to go to the defense of their fellow Americans. And the United States military has been one of the reasons that America has been strong, and the forces of the globalists that want to bring us together in a global elite society have been unsuccessful. And the United States military has been a force that has been used, I believe, by God to help keep the globalists at bay. Hitler tried it, World War II. He was not successful. We had other times when it's been tried and they were not successful. Of course, the communists of the Soviet Union, which is no more, Russia and their satellite states. The Communist Chinese Party is attempting to control the world today. And so in order to reduce the power and the influence of the United States military and to reduce its ability to defend our freedoms, we see the United States military under attack, not just from without, but now from within. And the Biden administration has launched some direct attacks that's bringing Marxism directly into our military. When I was in the United States Air Force, we were dealing with Marxism, with communism. It was in the middle of the Cold War, or the height of the Cold War, during the Reagan time frame there in the 1980s. And I learned a thing or two about communism and the Marxist agenda and what they were doing. But just in a few months since Biden has been in office, the military is being pumped full of Marxist propaganda, critical race theory, transgender extremism. People in the military subjected to all kinds of politically correct training being singled out if they don't toe the line. This is because the Biden administration has an agenda. They're trying to do what the Obama administration attempted to do, and that's destroy the United States military, one of the greatest forces for good in the world today. I've heard, I think it was Dennis Prager who used to say, or maybe he got it from somebody else, there's other people that said it, I'm sure, that one of the examples of the difference between the United States military and other militaries that we've seen throughout history is if you were living in a country and you woke up in the morning and you saw military ships stationed off the coast of your country, and if they were out there, how would you feel about it? And most people, if they saw they were U.S. military ships, they'd feel relieved, because oftentimes the U.S. military, the Navy, has brought relief and medical care into third world countries and places during times of disaster. And so the military has been a force for good. But this administration here, especially since the Secretary of Defense, but I'm not feeling too bad because Joe Biden, trying to introduce him, couldn't remember his name or the institution that he was in charge of when he was introducing him back in, I believe it was January, February timeframe. But they're trying to push this stuff in here. Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, U.S. Army retired, is having people call him. He said, I had a guy call me from Kuwait last week, and he said, as soon as I get the last soldier out of here, I'm done. I'm not going to stay in this army because of the social experiments that are taking place right now. Other people have said, another guy said, my unit has asked me to start teaching this critical race theory, and I'm not going to do it. That means I'm going to get out of the army. We're seeing this, that people are worried if they post something, suggesting support for Donald Trump or the MAGA agenda, the Make America Great Again agenda. They're afraid they're going to be singled out. They're going to be hounded out of the military. They're not going to make rank and all these kinds of things. The one world globalists out there are doing their best during this time they have with the Biden administration to further the work that they were doing in the Obama administration. I still maintain the reason that they were so hateful towards Donald Trump was not the fact that he was Donald Trump. It was the fact that he wasn't Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton was supposed to coast into the office without any problems and do what Biden is doing now. But because God intervened and allowed Donald Trump to be elected, they were like the Bible says, like a bear robbed of her whelps. They were angry. They had it in hand, and it was taken out from underneath them. And so in the last 4 years with Donald Trump, he was pushing back against the globalist agenda, and now that Biden is in there, they're moving full steam ahead. We're going to be doing some more programs in the future talking about the Great Reset and some things like that. But just something to be aware of here on this eve before Memorial Day, and it's a reminder again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, where Paul writes, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then he goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, I don't know how you can be a Bible-believing pastor and preach this passage without touching on what's happening in the world and in government. You know, some pastors, oh, I'm not going to preach on politics. That's separation of church and state. It's not biblical to preach on politics. And yet right here, we're supposed to be praying for kings and for all that are in authority. That's touching on our political leaders. And he says it's good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We need to be informed what they're doing so we can pray for them effectively, because God wants people to be saved. Our church prays each week for Joe Biden's salvation. I hope you're praying for his salvation. We prayed for Obama's salvation when he was president. And so I hope you're praying for his salvation. God wants all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. As I said, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. And we've got Nancy who's been holding. And Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking
Good evening.
My call. Yes, thank you. Good evening to you. I'm a little bit embarrassed because a lot of people I know had, relatives, fathers or grandfathers, in the service. But I really don't have anybody. My father did not have to go into service, but he said if they did try to draft him, well, he had two twin daughters, me and my twin sister, who were young. But he said if they did try to draft him, he said he was a conscientious objector. And he said if it was his belief, because he was very much a pacifist, that the leaders should fight it out and leave all the, people that were under them, the public, leave them out of it. But I did have... Now, this is really embarrassing, because the only person I know that had anything to do with the military in my family was my great-great-grandfather. He was a draft dodger from Germany. So I know that was really embarrassing. But I know that if my memory is correct, your father and your grandfather, and you had various relatives.
A number of relatives, but and I was going to say, too, you're talking about family history and things. Somebody once observed that if you go back far enough, everybody's got a horse thief or two in their family. So, you know, there's always something in there.
Yeah, probably.
My dad and his brother, my uncle, were in World War II. And then on my mom's side, two of my uncles, one in the Air Force in the 50s, the other one in the Marine Corps, also in the late 50s, I believe, going in the early 60s, before Vietnam. And then a number of my grandfather, neither of my grandfathers, I believe, were in the service themselves, although I did have a great uncle who died as a result of exposure to mustard gas in World War I. He didn't die during the war. He died later on. He had complications and things like that. But the fact of the matter is, whether we've personally been in or had family members that have been, we still recognize, you know, what people who did serve accomplished for our country.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking about Luke 22:19.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, the communion service, that is a memorial to Jesus Christ. I'm thinking about the last part of Luke 22:19. This is my body.
Mm-hmm.
Is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Right.
So
right.
That is a memorial too.
Yeah. And in fact,
I know.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that Paul reiterated that when he was teaching on the Lord's Supper as well. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, he said here, starting verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then he said, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament, my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Yeah, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul reinforces exactly what Jesus was saying here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did see that other reference too. But I just want to thank you again for the wonderful Friday night Bible study. Everybody that I recommend it to, they all love it. Most of them get hooked.
Well, and you know, the enjoyable thing with that is it gives us a chance. People can share different bits of information that they have. You know, it's kind of interesting. This evening at our church service at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, I've been preaching through the book of Proverbs, and I'm in Proverbs chapter 15.
Uh-oh.
One of the verses that I had tonight was Proverbs 15, verse 22, where he said, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." And we referenced in there some verses that talked about the value of having people who can weigh in and supply bits of information, and about how in the multitude of counselors there's safety and things like that. And that's one of the fun things about the Friday night Bible study is people chime in with different bits of information to help clarify a point or supply some information that maybe somebody we don't know. And it's great. It's a time of it's good fellowship. I certainly enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's one of my favorite services. Not really a service, but it's one of my favorite times because I just like getting into the Bible with people and talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And you always keep it on the keep a biblical reference to, you know, whether it's political or current. I mean, whether it's scriptural or on current events.
Yeah, and we.
And you know, I did notice it's mainly men that contribute these very wise, you know, bits of information. There's about 10 men there that they are so smart in their knowledge of the Bible and history.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm very amazed at what you say, and I know you're very humble about it. But there's such smart men there. They seem to be gravitating towards you.
The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, and learn a lot from the Bible study. And you know, the moment that a pastor or a teacher says, "I know it all," I can't learn anything. You can't teach me anything. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, I just really enjoy your Bible study. And,
well, thank you.
And, of course, I love calling in. And it was nice to hear Terry on Friday, you know, because sometimes he gets pushed toward the end. He only gets maybe 5 minutes. So he.
Well, I think he's going to be joining us after you, actually. So.
Oh, very good.
I think he's waiting on the line there now. I see his name on the board, so
okay.
He's already called in for the evening.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you very much. You have a blessed evening.
Thank you, and God bless you. And God bless you. Have a Memorial Day celebration as well. Remembering.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Nancy. Appreciate that. And she was talking about our Friday night Bible study. We have a short half-hour program every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And then, of course, every Friday night we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's where we meet on Sundays as well for our church services. We don't have a building of our own, so we meet there in the conference room. But it's open. If you would like to join us on a Friday night, we'd love to have you. But I did want to mention, before I pick up Terry's call here, this Friday night, due to a conflict in scheduling, there's one group that's been meeting there longer than we have, and so they get priority on the meeting room when they're there. So we're going to be in the breakfast area. We're not canceling anything. We're going to be in the breakfast area right when you come in through the main doors. We'll be right off to the right. We'll be on the right. I guess that's fitting. So hope you get a chance to stop in and see us sometime. And if you're not doing anything on a Friday night and you got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, just like we do on the radio program, I invite you to come out and visit our Friday night Bible study. In fact, this program actually grew out of the Friday night Bible study. So, well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Terry waiting. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. We got to you early tonight, didn't we?
Yes, you did. Happy Memorial down there.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I have to point out, you know, we celebrate Memorial Day, of course, and originally Declaration Day, remembering those that died, and not just recently, but in the past wars and going back into the time of the Civil War and everything. But I was reading something just recently that although Canada had a population at the time of World War I that was 10% of the United States, and it's roughly about 10% of the United States today, if I understand correctly, the number of casualties, men that gave their lives in Canada, from Canada, in World War I, was far greater than the number of people who gave their lives from the United States in World War I. I think it was Newfoundland, if I remember correctly, was just about decimated in terms of the number of men that were that lost their lives serving and fighting in defense of freedom there during World War I. And so Canada really did contribute a lot. And admittedly, they were in the war effort, of course, being part of the Commonwealth. United States actually came in much later during World War I than when Canada went in.
Yeah, we celebrate Canada Day on July the 1st.
Uh huh.
Or Memorial Day. Well, it's not Memorial, but it's actually Canada Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just so we think of the people, and then, you know, it's not just World War I, World War II, and the War on Terror and different things. The Canadians have been represented there and close partners with the United States military as well.
Yeah, we're mainly a peacekeeping country.
Yeah. But
for the most part,
yeah. But a lot of Canadians have given their lives over the years.
That's true.
So, but welcome to the program.
Thanks. I was listening to. I know I brought this up on Friday, but I had to bring this up. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I was listening to your affiliate, and they were talking about the, why they justify how you can lose your salvation.
Okay, I was not listening, so I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were bringing up the Matthew 25, where it talks about conversion.
All right, let me go to Matthew chapter 20. Is that the one with the oil and the lamps?
Yeah, the oil and the lamps and that.
Yeah, let me get turned over there. Helps if I go to the New Testament, right? Yeah, Matthew chapter 25, and you had the 10 virgins, the verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the ten virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish, and they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil in them. See, part of the problem here, and it says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Part of the problem is oil represents the Holy Spirit. If you've got five here that did not have oil, that would suggest they weren't saved, they weren't believers in the first place, because they didn't have the Spirit.
Right.
And, this was written, of course, before the cross, but people were still getting saved by, believing in the Savior that was going to come. In the Messiah that was going to come. God recognized their belief. And then, of course, we put our faith in the Savior who came, and we have the interesting thing that when we're saved, we receive the Spirit of God in us. Romans 8:9 says that now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if we're going to follow the analogy there, we would assume that, and of course this is a parable, that the five without oil were not true believers, the five with oil were. And that's why the five without the oil were not allowed in. And the five with oil were.
Now, that's just simply what that means. Like the people take it out of context.
Mm-hmm.
If we could lose our salvation, we would have already lost it.
Well, yeah, what level of sin do you have to commit to lose your salvation, or how can you end eternal life? How can you get around Jesus' promise, the very words of Christ in John chapter 10, that you'll never perish? How can you take yourself out of his hand when he said that no man can take us out of his hand or the Father's hand? And so we've got these insurmountable things. Part of what it is, it's a failure to fully understand what happens at salvation, to fully understand that when you get saved, we're sealed until the day of redemption, not by our good works, not by our faithfulness, but by the Holy Spirit of God himself. We're sealed until the day of redemption. And so our sins, as far as God is concerned, all of them, not some of them, all of them, past, present, and future, are forgiven. And then, of course, the common objection is, well, how could he have paid for sins that we hadn't committed yet? Well, let me ask you, how many sins had you committed when Jesus died on the cross? Zero, because you weren't born yet. So all of our sins were future when Jesus paid for them. And so we simply trust the promises of God. There are people who make false professions of faith. There are people who make an emotional decision, but they've really not humbled themselves before God. They've really not put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've mouthed words. They've claimed something that they didn't actually do. They've claimed to be saved when they're really not. And some people, they're as Paul said to Timothy, deceiving and being deceived, and so they're deceived oftentimes themselves. They might think that they're saved. Somebody said, pray this prayer and you'll be saved. And so they pray the prayer thinking they've been saved, but they don't fully understand what they prayed. And so you have a lot of people who are Christian in name only. And sure, they're not going. Many of them are not going to get into heaven because they were never saved.
Right, and God's not going to give us the Holy Spirit 1 minute and then turn
no.
and take it back from us the next.
And if He was going to take it from us, it would only take one sin. So
right.
Yeah, eternal security is what Jesus preached. That's what I'm going with. When I got saved, I didn't become perfect, but I was given a perfect spirit, a new spirit in Christ. Hey, thanks for that, Terry. We've got the half-hour break coming up. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight right here on this night before Memorial Day. And I hope you'll be able to get out and do something to remember those that gave their all so that we can enjoy the freedom to do exactly what we're doing right now, as well as many other things. And so we certainly want to remember that. Again, a reminder that I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find us meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We just had some information about that. We're there every Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m., and our informal Friday night Bible study. And then, of course, every Sunday we're there, our morning service at 11 p.m. is when we're on the radio here, 11 a.m., and then our evening service at 6 p.m., and then here on the radio every Friday night. Of course, we're on the radio on Sunday night at 11 to midnight, and every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2. So I hope you'll join us at those things. Also, reminder that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out that information and more all at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to our past programs and things as well. And we're also brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call for pickup at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you give them a call, let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to jump back into our callers here. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. 9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we've got a couple people here already waiting. We'll get back to Terry here. We were talking just before the break, ran out a little bit of time there. And Terry, welcome back. I got another caller waiting as well, but we were going to finish up what we were talking about before the break. You were talking about we were talking about eternal security there a little bit, and I think you had something else you wanted to mention.
I mentioned that God gives us the Holy Spirit. He's not going to take it away from us.
Exactly, and that's what he means when he says we're sealed until the day of redemption. And we're sealed by him, not by us. And, to believe the Scriptures, we believe that God is omniscient. He knows us, and he knows the future. He knows that we're going to sin in the future. He knows what we're going to do that's wrong, and he's already paid for that, and he knows that we've already confessed that we sin, that we're sinners by nature, and so that new spirit that he created within us, when Paul said that, behold, all things become new, God understands we still have this body of flesh, and we're still going to stumble and fall. Terry, the only way for the idea of losing your salvation to really work effectively, the only other alternative would be sinless perfection. You would either have to be sinless, completely sinless, never to sin again after you got saved, or you're going to be lost, because it would only take one sin. This idea that you have to reach a certain number of sins, or you have to make the decision that I'm going to deny Christ. If you're born again, you've already confessed him as your Savior, and that's where God has saved us and given us these eternal promises. And our sins are forgiven. You say, well, what if a Christian is genuinely born again and then they deny Christ? Wouldn't that mean that God has to deny them? Because he said, if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father. Well, that's a sin. What did Jesus say he did with our sins when we got saved? He said he would remember them no more.
No more.
As far as the east is from the west. Oh, I like that. If you and I were standing on the equator, and we walked, to the east, we'd never get to the west, would we? Because the west would always be behind us.
There's one scripture that I always have people throw at me all the time, constantly, when I'm talking to them. It's that faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
In James. They throw that at me every time. One thing about the Catholics, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, and that, they all think that you have to work for your salvation, basically.
Well,
and they throw that scripture at me every time to justify why they believe that you have to work for your salvation.
And again, that's a misunderstanding of what's going on there. I studied biology quite a bit, and one of the ways you know something is alive is you see evidence of life. You see it doing something. Now, some things, admittedly, don't grow very fast, and they don't move very fast. But over time, you can see, like if you were studying, lichens on the side of a tree or on a rock or something, you don't see them moving around much. You don't see them doing much of anything. But if you watch them over time, you'll see that they're growing. And if you look at them microscopically, you'll see that the chloroplast in the algae in the lichen is conducting photosynthesis, and you'll see that other things are happening. Acids are being released, and nutrients are being absorbed, and all kinds of things are taking place. You see evidence of life, and that's what James was getting at when he talks about faith without works being dead, because if you have a genuine faith that's alive, there's going to be some evidence. Now, it might not be much evidence. It might not be something where you see evidence that the person is growing by leaps and bounds in Christ. They might be growing slowly. But there's
it's a growing process.
Exactly. There's evidence of life. Some people, on the other hand, they grow rapidly. I mean, it's just we have this type of ragweed, you know, that grows. And when you see it grow, it's like giant ragweed. And it'll go from nothing, and it'll poke up above the ground in the spring. And by August, it'll be 6 feet or more tall. That's rapid growth. I mean, you could just about sit there and watch it grow. It grows that fast.
Some will receive 30, some will receive...
Exactly.
Some will receive 100.
Yeah, but if somebody is genuinely born again, there will be evidence growth. Of it. There will be some growth. There will be some works. There will be something that indicates that they have a living faith. If there's never any growth, if there's never any change, if there's never any interest in the things of God, if there's never any desire to pray or read the Bible or associate with other believers, if there's never any excitement about spiritual matters, then maybe they don't have a living faith. Maybe they're dead in their sins yet. They were never saved in the first place. What's that?
I would question their salvation.
Exactly.
If they were even born.
Exactly.
Born to begin with.
And I have a feeling that a lot of these people that supposedly lose their salvation are people who were led to pray a prayer, pressured to pray a prayer, or perhaps they went through some confirmation process and they were told that they were Christians, or they grew up and they said, "Well, I wasn't Jewish, I wasn't Muslim, so I must have been Christian." And then later on, they turn away, you know, and there's some cases that are a little harder to understand, a little harder to decipher what's going on. I admit that. But we're not going to take these unclear things and let them reinterpret the clear promises of Jesus Christ, where he said that, you know, the Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us, where he said he gave us eternal life and we shall never perish, that no man will pluck us out of his hand. We don't let the questionable things reinterpret the clear things of Scripture, and that's part of the problem. But
back in the Torah, in the Torah, like when they did a blood sacrifice, say, or of animals, you know, that only covered their sins for a year.
Well, and that was part of the reason for the yearly sacrifices and all. But ultimately, though, it was their faith in what those sacrifices represented, and right. You know, the belief in the Messiah to come.
Right,
that ultimately saved them.
But when Jesus came, though, he sacrificed once and for all.
Exactly. Exactly.
For all eternity.
Exactly. So he was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. So
that's what John the Baptist told.
Yeah.
Jesus is the man of, that takes away the sin of
the world, right.
The Lamb of God.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, good subjects there.
About to come.
Yeah. Good subjects there, but I'm going to have to get on to our next caller here because we've got somebody else calling in as well. So we're going to grab Tom here this evening. And Tom, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Pastor. Oh, yeah, I was going to comment about Memorial Day. Before.
Yes, sir.
I want to comment on your last caller.
Mm-hmm.
And I know exactly, you know, you have a tendency to listen to, you know, various ministries, maybe television, radio, or, you know, people you go to. Sometimes you've even gone to a church or heard a sermon somewhere. And here's what I learned a long time ago, and it, because it used to, you know, when I was a new Christian and in for quite a few years, I'd get confused about things. And one day the Holy Spirit said, when you know the truth and you hear bad theology, bad theology, you know, like things like we can lose our salvation and there's no such thing as the rapture and all things like that. You know what I do? I don't frustrate myself. I just say a little prayer and I say, Lord, help them if they really are Christians or, you know, help them to understand clearly your word. But I don't frustrate myself. I turn them people off.
Well, and that's a good way to do it, Tom. That really is good advice.
because really you get a mindset, and then some of these people can manipulate your thinking, and then you start to lose your assurance. And this is the key word, assurance. We have assurance, and even Paul, I think, wrote about it, that we have passed from death unto life. Now, he wasn't talking about when we die we're going to go to life. Yeah, we're going to be living with Christ. But I think he's addressing believers here and now. He's saying we are passed from death unto life, okay? That mm-hmm. we are quickened in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how that parlays in the Greek or the Hebrew. You would professionally know that. But quickened, that means life.
Right, made alive.
Exactly. So, you know what? My best advice to all people is I say, you know what? I can't question what's in their heart, what they're teaching. But when I hear really bad theology, I'm not talking about, minor things that we differ on. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of good Bible preachers I've listened to over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't agree exactly with their interpretation of what they're saying. But when it comes to serious, fundamental things that we know are true in the Word of God, we should not pay attention to these people then, because they're only going to confuse us, and I don't think the Lord wants us to be confused.
Well, and we know who the author of confusion is.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
So, but you know what? We do ourselves, I think, more harm by, trying to sort out what everybody's telling us. You have to stay with the Word of God. And whenever I've been confused, I go to the Bible, I go to the Holy Spirit, I ask God the Father through Jesus, Lord, your Spirit lives within me. I have that assurance, and I believe that with all my heart. When I got down and got serious with the Lord and asked Him to save me, I did it several times years ago. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because I have not only the Holy Spirit in me, I have the witness of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Bringing that assurance to my heart. So I think we do ourselves better justice to just, not get involved with people that really preach a gospel that's going against what we already know.
Well, amen to that. That's good advice. And because not every person has to be argued with.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to judge anybody, and I don't know what's in their heart. God knows it.
And some people are genuinely born again. They're just mistaught.
Yeah, it was just like I heard a minister say years ago. He said, there's ministers out there, and he said they mean well, and he said maybe they're saved, but he said bad theology is bad theology.
That's true. That is true.
So. On Memorial Day, it's interesting because Nancy called in, and she shouldn't be embarrassed if you're listening, Nancy, because, there's nothing wrong with that. You couldn't put on a uniform and go fight, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was thinking, because my dad's side, we settled in, and you were talking about some of your ancestors that fought, and my dad had an uncle that also died from mustard gas.
Mm-hmm.
He came home from World War I, and the mustard gas ruined his lungs.
Yeah, that was what happened
and
with my great-uncle.
For a year or two after the war ended, and he died a young man, but it was the mustard gas that destroyed his lungs. But we had relatives all the way back to the Civil War in every war. Civil War, Spanish-American, First World War, Second World War. My dad served in the Second World War with two of his brothers. And I had uncles in the Second World War. Then one of my uncles was in Korea, and my brother served during Vietnam. So, up till that point. So, yeah, we've got a pretty good proud heritage. And we go down to the graves. My wife and I always go to decorate the graves because I heard my mother say they all always call it Decoration.
Decoration Day, that's right.
I was going to ask you, did you ever research Decoration Day? I think it goes back to following the Civil War.
Yeah, I think that's when it was the
and
Civil War.
I think
War.
It really started with some ladies in the South.
And I may be mistaken on this. I remember looking it up some years ago. I think they actually took the time to decorate some graves of Union soldiers because they had nobody in the South to decorate their graves.
Yeah. So I had a figure those were Christian ladies.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Union troops that were buried in the South. Just like there's actually up off from Marblehead Peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
On the Sandusky Bayside, I forget the name of the little island there. The little causeway goes out there.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a
yeah,
Confederate seminary there. Confederate cemetery there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. They held prisoners of war there, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And, you know, you can see where they had them there, because how were they going to escape? Where were they going to?
You know, that was
their little island.
War, but I don't think we should disrespect either side. Lincoln brought that together and researched what Lincoln said. He really brought healing. He wanted to bring healing between the South and the North.
And you wonder what would have happened had he not been assassinated.
I know.
And some of the plans that he had.
Well, all those are mysteries that are going to unfold. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people I love history. My dad loved history. I think he was the one that inspired me to love it so much. And I really believe in remembrance because, you know, people tend to forget the dead. And, yeah, they're with God, our loved ones who knew Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. They are there, and we are going there.
And one day soon, hopefully.
And just think of all the ancestors that were saved in our bloodlines all the way back. Isn't it going to be interesting to get to know some of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call tonight, Tom.
All right, very good. And Thanks for taking my call.
Have a good day tomorrow, and enjoy the day. A lot of people gave everything to give us that day, so appreciate that. So thank you so much, Tom. And we're going from Tom here in Ohio to Tom in Florida tonight. And Tom, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Al. I really appreciate this. And the Amen Corner down here wishes we had that rain that you were talking about at the beginning of your program. We haven't had rain down here in a while. So.
Oh, my. We had it all day yesterday. So.
I know the program's coming to an end, so I just wanted to mention one thing. I happened to hear an interview in the radio yesterday from a woman who was a Vietnam War combat nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know this, that there is a Vietnam combat nurse memorial in Washington, and it was her idea to do it. And she wrote a book, and in the entrance to the book, it said that it is a Vietnam War combat nurse's 10-year fight to win women a place of honor in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's neat.
I wanted on this evening before Memorial Day to, you know, give a remembrance to the wonderful nurses who are involved in every war, and particularly one in Vietnam. And I just wanted to point that out tonight.
And you know, it's good that you brought that up. As we were getting ready after church today and getting ready to come up for the radio program tonight, we had on the annual National Memorial Day program that comes from the Capitol, and with all the COVID shutdowns and everything, they've been doing it, not the big live program outdoors that they've always had, but they had General Powell recognizing a bunch of Vietnam veteran nurses. We tuned in, we didn't get it until after it had already started, so that must have been what they were talking about and why they had them on. So that's a good bit of information. You can find that program online. The PBS channels carry it, and then I believe YouTube has it and some other ones have it. And it's recorded. People could go back and listen to it. So that would be something worth listening to as well. But I appreciate that. And always good to hear from you, Tom.
Thank you, sir. I know the program's about to end. God bless you. And you have a wonderful day tomorrow. And appreciate always hearing the wonderful calls that come in. So thank you so much.
I appreciate that, Tom. And God bless you and the Amen Corner down there in Florida. And keep praying for us. We're hoping to maybe do some things here in the future that might be able to bring you guys in a little closer. So just pray for us. I think we got 3 minutes, and we got somebody calling. I don't know if we can get them on in 3 minutes or not, but we can give it a try here. We'll see what happens here if we can get them on. We got just a couple of minutes, but and again, as we're approaching the end of the program, do take the time tomorrow to get together with your family, get together with some friends. I don't think you have to contact Joe Biden and ask for permission to grill hot dogs with your friends in the backyard. I don't think that Governor DeWine is going to be out there policing you to make sure that you don't have non-family members associated around your backyard barbecue. So I think you'll be able to get away with it. Yeah, I was just looking at some of the things that are just so ridiculous. It's like my hometown, Richfield, we can't have the outdoor Memorial Day program at the cemetery, but the next day the ballparks are open. What difference does a day make? Why don't they have them open or have the service? But anyway, it's not my call to make. We got trying to call back again. I know we got just about 2 minutes left. We'll see what happens. They were on and then they were off. But again, I do want to remind you there's a place that you might want to check out as well, Southern Summit County, the Ohio Veterans Memorial. And it's in the little village of Clinton. If you're coming down from the north, you can head down 77. And when 77 splits off in Fairlawn and goes to Akron, stay on 21. 21 heads south down through Copley, down through Norton, and you'll get to Clinton. The exit's for Clinton. And just before you leave Summit County, you'll see signs for the Ohio Veterans Memorial. And if you're not doing anything tomorrow, why don't you go check that out? Or if you have an opportunity, I know some people who are going to go out to Rittman to the National Cemetery in Rittman. And it's Ohio's only national cemetery, I believe. Or if you're in Cuyahoga Falls, go down Old Route 8 State Road. And what is that? Northland, right? Northland Cemetery. And it has an amazing flag display. It's sort of an unofficial veteran cemetery, and they've got a flag for every veteran's grave that's there. We drove by there today. What a sight. And again, take time with your family and friends this Memorial Day. Remember the sacrifice that was made, and remember even more the greater sacrifice that was made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our salvation. Thanks for listening. God bless and have a great Memorial Day.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com.